Let me give it a try. All right, so I'll say Nun Beis. Today's daf is Nun Beis. We're starting Nun Aleph on the Beis. Ten Rabbanon. Ein mekablin pikdonos lo min hanashim velo min haavodim velo min hatinokos. You cannot go ahead and receive a pikadon, right? You shouldn't accept an object or a piece of property, for that matter, from women, from avodim, from servants, or from tinokos, from children. So we'll say, so what's the logic over here? So if you look at the Rashbam says, lo min anoshim, di'ika l'meimar ganvum l'ba'aleihem u'la'adoneihem, v'tinokos nami shema ganvu mibeis balabayi shem darim sham, v'asr l'seye ovre avera, u'kishol yikablu mehem yachziru l'makom shakam. So this is actually quite interesting, we'll say. The concern over here is that perhaps, again, the object that the woman is selling is something that she illegally took from her husband, or the object that the Eved is selling is something that he illegally took from his Adon, or the object that the Katan is selling is something ultimately that he illegally took from his home. They're both saying, now the idea over here, so why can't I accept it? So Rashbam points out, because there's an interesting halacha of Misayela over Avera, which means that you cannot engage in activity that bolsters, cements, or reinforces, or for that matter, that's the right word, incentivizes illegal activity. That's the yesod over here. So if I go ahead and I provide a market, ultimately, again, for stolen goods, that's going to encourage people to continue to steal. On the other hand, if I don't accept the items, then by definition, there's no incentive for anyone to take anything. So what happens? Kibal min ha'isha, yachzir l'isha. So I'll say, here's what's interesting. So let's say I went ahead and I took an object from a woman. She sold it to me. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? I should return it back to that woman. Aye, but one second, why not return it back to the husband? So the Rashbam points out to her, yachzir l'isha, v'lo l'bal, de'ein lanu l'hachzika b'gnei vasa. So let's say, so I give it back to the woman, but not back to the husband. Why? Because it's only a chashash that she stole it. I don't know for sure that she stole it. There's a chashash, there's a concern. So because there's a concern, therefore, again, I shouldn't hold on to it. But but it's not enough to go ahead and make me return it to the husband. Rather, I give it back to the woman. So that's kibam in aisha, yachzir l'isha, v'imesa, yachzir l'bayla. But if at the end of the day, she died, so let's say again, I got the object from her, I'm supposed to return it to her. She died, I give it back to her husband. Kibam in aeved, yachzir l'eved. Similarly, if I received an object from an eved, I should give that back to the eved. Because again, same logic. As much as there's a chashash that perhaps maybe this person stole the object, this eved stole the object, it's a chashash. It's not definitive. So because it's not definitive, I can't give it back to his adon, but rather I give it back to the eved. V'imes yachzir l'rabo. But if the eved died, then absolutely I should go ahead and give it back to the master. The Rashbam writes over here, why is that? Yachzir l'rabo, demistoma komasha kona eved kona rabo. Because mistama, whatever the eved has, ultimately was the property of the rav. Top of nun beis mudaf rabosai. Kibam el akatan. What happens if lemaisa you receive the object from a katan? What happens then? So yaaselos gula. So we'll say. See, interestingly enough, so here's the issue with the katan. If you receive it from the katan, the Rashbam says kibam el akatan lo yachzir lo shahari ein yodea lishmar ukishemashlech liibud dami. Let's say I got an object from an Eved, so I'm supposed to return it. I got an object from a Katan, from a child. To return it to the child, so says the Gemara, is the wrong move. Why? Because we'll say that's like, you know, throwing it down the drain. There's no guarantee that the Katan is going to be able to retain it, or for that matter, the Katan is going to be able to get it back to its original owner. So what do? You maintain that object, and you use it Yaaselo Skula. So Yaaselo Skula essentially means is you make for the Katan a trust. You make a trust for the Katan. The emes, but if the katan died, then yachzir liyarshav. Then you return the object back to the yarshim, to the inheritors of the katan. So I'll say, let's finish this sugyo. The kulon shamru b'shas misasan shalploni hein ya'ase kiperushan. I will say, but whoever, listen to this, let's say at the time of death, and this is true with whoever it is, the time of death of the isha, the time of death of the eved, the time of death of the katan, let's say they're on their deathbed, and they say, that what? That the object actually belonged to so-and-so. So it's like a deathbed confession. They're confessing that the object belonged to so-and-so. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? So v'kula shomer b'shas misasin shalploni hein ya'ase kipei rushan. We'll say, I value that admission, and we return the object to the owner as claimed by this person on their deathbed. Ve'im lav, Ya'asa perush leperushan. We'll say, and if not, then I go ahead and I essentially create my own narrative around this object. Take a look at the Rashbam. Ve'im lav ya'aseh perush leperushan kilomar ve'im lo mehemen lahu nifkad shapikadon shal osaplonihu elo shal bailim shalahemu umitoch busha inam rotsim lomar shuhu shal bailim delo bischasku kegazlonin veganovim ya'aseh hanifkad perush achar leperusho shiyachzor leba'alein shal ilu v'lo lo osaploni. So v'chi ha'igab na'aminam basal. Let's listen to this. Let's say, however, again, the person dies. So remember, bottom line, the halacha is pretty simple over here. I'm not supposed to accept an object from these people. If I accept it from them, then what? Then what? Return it to them. The issue becomes, let's say they die. So the Gemara says there are two possibilities. Possibility one is that they gave a perish. They gave their own narrative. So if they gave a narrative, I trust their narrative and I return the object in accordance with the owner they designated. What happens if they die and they leave no perish, right? They leave no narrative. Then I, based on the circumstantial reality, can create my own narrative. So for example, if I read the situation and I say to myself, you know what, the Eved didn't tell me who it belonged to, but I have a strong feeling that it belonged to his Adon, but he didn't want to say anything because he was embarrassed or like that, then I could create my own narrative. Create my narrative. Right, back to the Gemara. Vimlav Yasef Perushah. Vimlav Yasef Perushah.
Correct.
Until he's gadol. Yeah, you make the skula from him, then you hand him over the skula afterwards. So this is Gemara. So we'll say the Gemara tells him. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't know what the financial arrangement is. So let's listen to this Maisa. To this who Rabbi Bar Bar Chana ki kashachva. So we'll say when Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's wife passed away, Amra hani kipi demarto. Demarto ubnei barto. So what happens? So ultimately, again, when Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's wife passed away, so she said, these earrings, Rashi brings down, kipi, are agilim, are earrings. These earrings, demarto, the Rashbam says over here, demarto, shem chacham, achiv shrabichia, marto ubnei barto, shel marto, v'chol bnei beso. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's wife is on her deathbed, and she says, the earrings that I've been wearing all of these years, they actually belong to Marta and his offspring, and his mishpacha. So what happens? She passes away. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana also coming to Rav. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana comes before Rav. Amalei, imehem nelecha, aseki perusha. If you believe her, then you should go ahead and comply with her words. Meaning, if you believe her, then you should return the objects to Marto, and ultimately again to his offspring. Rashbam says over here, imehem nalach, shelo ganva mimcha klum. So we'll say, see, here's the issue over here. What Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was unsure of was, is it possible that maybe these earrings belong to me, right? Is also that maybe these earrings ultimately, again, did not belong to Marta, but instead, ultimately, again, were from Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's own possessions. So he comes before Rav. Rav said, listen, if you believe your wife, then ultimately you should do what she says, and you should return the earrings to the family of Marta. If you don't believe her, then what? Then you could create your own narrative. What does it mean, create your own narrative? Asa perush leperusha, akev la'atzmacha. You're permitted to go ahead and save it for yourselves. So both say, so you understand what's happening over here, an incredible yisod. Now what we're seeing is something a little bit different. See, beforehand what we were saying was that if the person who lacks the ne'amonos, so what the Gemara is injecting now is just another piece to this. Up until now, we thought there's this group of people that if you give you something, you shouldn't accept it from them, because l'maisa, again, there's a chashash that maybe they stole it. So give it back. If you can't give it back, then ultimately, again, depending on the circumstances, depends on what you do with it. If they die on their deathbed, they tell you the object belonged to a particular person, so the halacha is what? Give it back to that person. Now what the Gemara is saying is, if you don't believe their statement, then you have the right to go ahead and create and craft your own narrative. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana is being told by Rav, if you believe your wife's admission that the earrings belong to Marta, give them back to Marta. If you don't believe your wife's admission, then what? And you believe that they're your property, they came from you, then you're permitted to keep them for yourself. V'yigid Amri, we'll say, others say, Hachi Amarle, this is what Rav really said to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, I amido lecha, asa ki perusha. Look at Rashbam. I amida. First white line of Rashbam. I amida lecha. Osim shiomer shehim shalahem im ashirim heim v'ru'uyim lahafkid kipi yushar chafatzim asay kibosh v'akzilahem. So if the earrings apparently were very expensive, so if Marto and his family are the kinds of people who would normally have these types of items, this type of expensive property, then you know what? You should return it to them. Samidar also means assessed, meaning if you assess them of being of the type of wealth that they would have this type of possessions, then give them back the earrings. Low, but if again at the end of the day you don't think that they would normally possess this type of wealth, then what? Asa perush the perusha. Then you create your own narrative, and in which case, again, if you feel that these earrings came from your property, then you in fact would be permitted to go ahead and keep the earrings. Well, let's just go a little bit wide. So fascinating halacha. So bottom line, if you receive an object, you shouldn't accept an object from a misha, from a katan, from an eved. If you do, you should return it to them. If, again, the katan, so with the katan, except for the katan. The katan, you make a skula, make some kind of trust. For the eved, the isha, if they died in the interim, so what do we do with the object? It depends. If they went ahead and they said, the object belongs to so-and-so on their deathbed, we listen to them. If, however, either they did not provide a narrative, or you don't believe their narrative, then what? Then the person who has the object has the right to create his own narrative, has the right to go ahead and create his own reality and give away, or for that matter, retain the property as he see fits. We'll say one more piece. This is actually a beautiful gemara. So with the katan's property, you should make a skula, right? You should make a trust. Says the gemara, my skula. So what exactly does that mean? Rav Chista Amar Sefer Torah. So beautiful. Rav Chista says, refers to a Sefer Torah. You should go out and take the object, sell the object, and use the proceeds to purchase a Sefer Torah. Look at the Rashbam. Sefer Torah. Lil Modbo Hari Peros V'Hakaren Kayim. Oh, so listen to how beautiful this is. So what happens if you go ahead and you sell this Sefer Torah? You sell the object, you purchase the Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah is the carrot. The principle remains intact. But the principle also provides, like Yangi said before, the interest. The peros, the fruit. What's the peros in this context? The peros over here, of course, is Talmud Torah, is learning. So the child could benefit, he gets the peros, but the carrot, the principle is preserved. Rabbi Barav Huna Amar Dikla. Rabbi Barav Huna says, a palm tree. Go and sell off the object. Use the proceeds to go ahead and purchase a palm tree. De'achol minei tamir. Both say same logic. What's the logic? The logic ultimately is that the keren, the principle, is preserved, and the katan has the opportunity to eat from the peros, has the opportunity to eat from the fruit. So both say, you see what's happening over here. The shayla, the fundamental machlokas is, how do we best look after the interests and the needs of the katan? So both say, so really they're both agreeing that at the end of the day, you have to go ahead and somehow transform the funds into something that is going to allow us to look after the best interests of the katan. How do we look after the best interests of the katan? Rav Chista says, his ruchnius. The most important thing you could do for a katan, the best way to preserve his self-interest, is to do whatever you can to preserve and to bolster his ruchnius. Buy the Sefer Torah, teach him from the Sefer Torah, the keren, the principle is there, and you're giving him the peros. The second opinion says, no, in the kemach in Torah, at the end of the day, in order for the child's neshama to thrive, his guf has to be cared for first. And therefore, what should you do with the object? Sell it, use the proceeds to purchase a palm tree, the keren, the principle is there, and the dates could be used to preserve the well-being, the physical well-being of the child. All right, we'll also step over here. For the chuppah. Beautiful, also, right? It sustains him through life. Beautiful. So we'll stop over here, and we're going to continue the rest of this daf in Eretz Yisrael. Alright, Mir Tashem, we will continue the rest of this daf in Eretz Yisrael. Mir Tashem, Beshatov, Umitzlachos.